Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. What in the world does that mean, especially if we remember that the word makarioi, blessed, the makarism, is flourishing? So flourishing are the persecuted? Deeply satisfied are the persecuted? What does that mean? This past Sunday at church, I preached on this, and I went through a couple of the commandments towards the end, essentially falling under the heading that the alternative to not following Christ is horrible, and yet following Christ is not a simple or an easy or a fine thing in life. And that's how I was defining persecution, that the world and our own false selves and the evil one will not honor our choices to follow Jesus. So I went through a couple of the commandments, and I want to go through the rest of them. And the reason is, what we often think is that it's the culture that's messed up. If the culture was more traditional like it used to be, or even more modern than it currently is, then it would be easier to be a follower of Jesus. Then more people would trust, or humanity would be better. Sometimes we say it vaguely, sometimes we say it specifically. But the truth is, every culture makes it difficult to be a follower of Jesus. And what happens is we swap different commands. Jesus's love is transcendent of our political parties and our traditional and cultural ways of doing things. And I don't know if you know what I mean when I say that, or I don't know if you're comfortable with that language, but I firmly believe that a traditional society hides some kind of abuses, and a modern society enables all sorts of destructive behavior. There isn't a perfect society this side of heaven, which is how we can live in the tension of the statement, blessed are the persecuted. So I'm going to go through the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to give my thoughts on whether the culture honors that commandment, because I think a traditional and a modern society probably come close to about every other commandment honoring and dishonoring. The first commandment is to worship God and Him only. And I think as long as our tone is one of respect, which it certainly should be to other religions, the culture honors this one, actually. Yes, okay, good, to worship God and Him only. You know, maybe don't push that on me, but yeah, you can even talk to me about it now. I think our society is increasingly post-secular, or beyond post-Christian. And okay, sure, you want to worship God, that's your thing, that's fine. The second commandment, though, is don't have any idols. Don't treat stuff like God. And I don't think the parts of our culture that are consumeristic understand that at all. Like, you are supposed to, first of all, you know what's best for you, and you know what you like, and you're supposed to go get that, and then enjoy it. And that is the flourishing life according to our culture. So the second commandment, I don't believe our culture honors. The third commandment is one that I think a lot of religious people miss, which is carry the Lord's name with honor. That's literally what it says. Don't carry up the name of the Lord in vain. I think our culture actually loves this one because it's essentially a pushback on hypocrisy. The fourth commandment is take a day off for food and rest and feasting and prayer. And so, and I think our culture's like, yeah, you deserve a Sabbath. You work so hard. You're so amazing. Learn to rest. And good. I'm glad. I'm glad our culture affirms that. I don't think we do it very well, but I think the culture affirms it. The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. No way. No way does our culture honor this, because we know what's best for us, and most of our problems probably are tied to our parents, and why should we honor someone that loved us so imperfectly, is what I think the culture says with respect to the fifth commandment. And a traditional, people that are for a traditional society would be like, right, this is what's wrong with the culture. Well, in a traditional society, a lot of the pain that parents can cause to children can be covered up more easily. So the traditional society is not the answer. My point is, we're noticing the tension Jesus asks us to live in. Blessed are the persecuted, because it will be imperfect. The sixth commandment, don't murder. As Jesus redefined this in terms of not having hatred in our heart and not calling people names, there's no way. Like, how else would we even get along with anybody if we didn't know how to call people names? The seventh commandment, don't lust. Jesus expands this one again. We're pretty into lust as a culture, whether we're honest about it or not. And some of that's actually getting cleared up a little bit in 2018, and yet our culture is still basically for lust, for the same reason we're for idols. We think we know what's best for our own happiness. Don't lie. I think the culture if we're honest, says you should do whatever it takes to live a comfortable life, including being untruthful, bearing false witness. Don't steal. We are opposed to this one. I do think that this current moment is opposed to theft. But coveting, the very 10th commandment, pretty tough to enforce. Don't covet. I think we're into coveting. I think coveting is the bridge in our culture for how we learn who we are and what we want, and then we work to go get it. And the reason I went through the 10 commandments is to help us understand the tension Jesus is presenting with a tone of lament that until he returns, flourishing are the persecuted, for they live in a world where the with God life is not honored, whether that's a traditional society or a modern one. When we attempt to live out the with God life because of the joy purchased for us on the cross, we will be reviled for it by our false self, by the culture, and by the evil one.